Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
630 CHED and the Edmonton Oilers Hockey Club present the show that is everything Oilers. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Service for all brands of print equipment in your office?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio. 630 CHED.
And Cody Jansen with you this afternoon, 5 minutes after one in Edmonton. Oilers Now brought to you by Digitext. Digitext.ca is Alberta's number one owned and operated place to buy office technology and software. You can call us on the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline at 780-496-0063. The River Cree Resort and Casino. Excitement. Bet on it. It's also the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Get the new floors you've always wanted with Ashley Fine Floors. 143rd Street and 111th Avenue. Open Monday to Saturday. You can reach us on Twitter at Oilers Now and at Janner on PXP. Edmonton Oilers announcing this afternoon that they're ECHL affiliate is moving to the Fort Wayne Comets, Fort Wayne, Indiana, for 22-23. So there you go. Now you'll have, there'll be some, a prospect or two in Fort Wayne.
You ever been to Fort Wayne?
I have not.
Hoping to get a good story from you. No, I haven't been to Fort Wayne.
I haven't been to Fort Wayne. I'm sure it's nice. I'm sure it's nice this time of year. Time now to bring in David Staples from the Cult of Hockey. David, yesterday, Jesse Puljujärvi signs 1 year, $3 million for the season. That move got made while we were in the middle of the show. You've had a day to digest it. Your thoughts on that deal yesterday?
Well, I'm in the pro Puljujärvi camp. I think he's a good player and has the potential to get better. Lot better because he's still a youngish guy. Is he 24? And he's a big, lanky player who, as he gets his full coordination and strength, he's only going to get better. I thought he was really good this year, actually, until the last months of the season and the playoffs. And in the playoffs, he was pretty weak, wasn't he? And I think his confidence went. He was sick and injured. And I think what affected everyone's view of this guy was this kind of recency bias. Just, I think if you go by the whole year, pretty good player. But we all had it stuck in our minds how, you know, his game is fairly anemic in the playoffs. But I don't think that's how you should evaluate a player. You got to look at the whole picture, you know, where he's at in his age and his development and how he did in the entire season. So I think it's $3 million for 1 year. It's a good deal, but I think the thought running through everybody's heads is, is this a sign and trade? You know, do they have a deal worked out? Is he going to be moved at 1 year for $3 million for what Puljujärvi brings? I think he's a top six winger. I don't think he's a driver in the top six. He's not someone who carries a line. He doesn't drive his line, but he's a glue player on whatever line he plays on because of his outstanding forechecking. I mean, I think he's at least an adequate defensive player. I think he's okay on defense. But man, his forechecking is outstanding. So he really can help that line. So $3 million 1 year, it's going to be hard if the Oilers do move him to find a better right winger for that amount of money. So I'm hoping they can find a way to stay him, keep him, Cam, but I don't know how they can do that with, you know, they've got very little money,
yeah,
and they've got Yamamoto and McLeod still to sign. So I think something has to give, and they're going to have to get rid of one contract above $2.5 million. And the choices are going to be, you know, we've talked about this ad nauseum, but the choices are Barry, Puljujärvi, Yamamoto, and Fogel. And the question is, of that group, who can you move? Who can you move? What can you get back? Do you have to take a poison pill with any of them? And these are kind of unknowns. But, you know, looking at the what was the trade where the guy went from Columbus to Seattle? Bjorkstrand, very, very good player. I think he'd scored 27 goals this past year. Why did they get a third and a fourth round pick for him? So it's a brutal market, obviously, for moving. I think he had 1 year left on a deal with $5 million plus. It is a brutal market for moving players with who've got high cap hits in the NHL. So I don't know what they're going to do. I would prefer, if I had to pick, I think they can replace Fogle most easily. I think Dylan Holloway can probably get that job done. So that's the player I think is, you know, most replaceable. That said, that if they traded Tyson Barrie, they might be able to get the most back in return. But I don't know if there's much of a market for right shot power play demon since so many were on the market this year.
David Staples, our guest. And further to that, if you move out Tyson Barrie as a hypothetical, you got to replace, like, somebody's got to play in that spot.
You do, right?
You know,
can Philip Broberg, could he play there? You know, he played both sides in Sweden, and he played both sides in Bakersfield. He's a big, mobile, young kid, but that's asking a lot to replace Tyson Barrie. Tyson Barrie played the best two-way hockey of his career, I think, in the playoffs. He was fantastic. He was involved in all kinds of big goals. So the thought of moving him, and, you know, once you've already lost Duncan Keith, who I think was a little, especially the way he was playing in from Christmas on, he was a little underappreciated and in Edmonton and a little underrated by many fans. I think he was a really super solid puck-moving top four D-man. The Oilers are going to miss Duncan Keith, and I don't think people really think about that. Losing Tyson Barrie as well, I don't think they want to do that, even though they have a raft of young defensemen. I think they want to break in one of these guys, but not two of them or three of them.
No, you're right. Dave, that's asking a lot. Like, I would think, significantly weaken your back end. Yes, it does expedite the development on some young guys, but it also puts them in a really tough spot. So I don't know if that is the next move. And in fact, I think probably not, but you're right. He would garner the best return.
Well, I was thinking that, Cam, but I'm not sure of that anymore because there was so many right shot power play specialists on the market this year. I mean, turned out Brent Burns was on the market, right? We didn't really know that, but, you know, Carolina filled its need. They lost D'Angelo, right shot power play specialist. Justin Schultz was moved. So there's been, there's Klingberg, John Klingberg, right?
Yeah.
So there's already a better player than Tyson Barrie, who will cost more in salary cap, but you can get him for just this cap hit. So it was a glutted market of the kind of player that Tyson Barrie is. So even if the Oilers had wanted to move Tyson Barrie, I thought that was the obvious move this summer because I wasn't anticipating that Keith would retire, you know, to get cap space to do what you needed to do. But I wonder in the end how much they could have got for Tyson Barrie or how easy it would have been to move him because there was such a surplus of that particular player in the market this year. So, you know, can they, you know, I don't think they want to move Yamamoto. They want to move Puljujärvi. If they move Puljujärvi, if you can only get a third and a fourth pick for Bjorkstrand, what, you know, does Puljujärvi, can you get a fifth pick for him? Can you get a sixth? Or do you have to trade a pick with him to move him? Like, has it gotten that wild? Is the market that tight? I would hope not. And then if you move him, you got to replace him. So the same with Fogle, you know, does he have negative value in the market? What would you have to trade in order to move his contract? I think it's much more likely that he has negative value. So it's a very tricky, sticky, awful proposition that Dan Holland has. Good luck with that. But they're going to have to move somebody. They got to do it.
Yeah, true enough. David Staples from the Cult of Hockey, our guest. I said it earlier, David. It's fun to play armchair GM. I don't think I'd want to play real GM. And not just I think anywhere. You can go through every team and they all have situations. There's all things that have to be figured out. And it's not easy. Like, you can't just, you can just trade that guy. Well, except you got to find somebody that wants him for something that you want back. Like, it's not easy.
And there's going to be lots of, like, if you get a fifth-round draft pick for Jesse Puljujärvi, there's going to be hell to pay in Edmonton from a large faction of fans. Now, you know, also know there has been whisperings, rumblings that Puljujarvi is open to a trade or wants a trade, you know, somewhere in that category, and maybe the team wants to move him, is open to it. So that, like, there is this kind of thought out there. And if that's the case, you know, clearly he's the player to move. If he does want out, and if they do want to move him, then, you know, someone who doesn't want to be here, or if they don't want him here, that's the guy you move if you can. And I don't know the case. I'm not a team insider, so I can't say for sure. But there's been enough of that smoke that you think there might be some fire there. So I do expect that contract, I think that's a really good contract for another team to take on Puljujarvi. There are a number of teams heavily invested in the kind of analytics that people who are crazy for Puljujarvi's game really buy into. There's some NHL teams who buy into that way of looking at the game as well. Those are the obvious markets for the player. $3 million for a top six winger, that's a good bargain, and I do expect he could be moved, and you'll get some kind of draft pick in return, which would be disappointing, but that is the market today.
It'll be interesting to see how that all plays out here in the next little while. David Staples from the Cult of Hockey is our guest. David, I saw, was it in the Athletic for Darnell Nurse and talking about his contract? Yeah, that was Dom. Is it Lecizin? I'm not sure.
It is. I think you nailed it. Dom Lecizin. Lecizin. And he is a very, very bright guy. And in terms of the people invested in that kind of analytics, he's also pretty sober and moderate. Like, you know, a lot of them are pretty aggressive in their viewpoint, I'll put it that way. But he's just very fair-minded and sober. So he did a list of the top 10 worst contracts in the NHL. And Nurse is number 5 on the list. The contract that Nurse is heading into, this 8-year deal at 9.25.
Yep, 9.25.
Yeah, okay. So he included that as number 5. But, he was quite fair. And the reason it's there is because it's such a big contract. So it's easy to be out. Like, if you're out $2 or $3 million a year, if Nurse is only worth $6 million a year, you know, that's still $3 million a year that you're out. That's a lot of money. So it's the size of the contract which makes it such a risk, which puts it on that list. Not, it's not any, you know, attack on Darnell Nurse necessarily. And Lecizin's comment was that he just feels when you look down the road, you know, it's 4 or 5 years down the road, the owner's going to start, when Nurse is, you know, 32, 33, 34 in that contract, are the owners going to get any kind of value in that contract? And I think it's a fair point. I think it's an honest thing to say, because defensemen do tend to fall down in their game as they head into their 30s. I'm more optimistic than Dom is on that particular contract for a couple of reasons. Nurse really has been, when you look at, you know, just major statistical categories, he's been a top 10 defenseman in the NHL for 2 or 3 years now. And the Oilers have been getting a huge bargain, like $2 or $3 million a year bargain on Darnell Nurse's contract every single season, going back 4 or 5 seasons. You know, he's been underpaid by his standard of play for a long time now. So, but that's not the reason I'm bullish. I just think he's still trending up. He's still relatively young as a defenseman. He's heading into his real prime the next 5 years as a player. And more than that, Cam, like, to keep a team together, it's not just armchair fantasy GM stuff. It's the relationships within the team. It's the players who are friends and know each other and want to play together and want to be on the same team, want to win together, and have been working together for years and years and years towards that goal. Well, the Oilers have that very special situation with McDavid, Draisaitl, and Nurse. And in locking up Nurse, they took, a major step towards the eventual hope of locking up McDavid and Draisaitl, you know, his close friends on that team. And, you know, they're the core group of that team. Locking them up, because they'll know Nurse is here. And I think the next ingredient that's going to be needed is a Stanley Cup. If you can add a Stanley Cup to Nurse already signed long-term, to them wanting to win more Stanley Cups, to them having the chance to do it together, that's your best bet in Edmonton to keep this group, this core group of leaders together, which I think is the priority of the franchise. So when you factor that in to Nurse's contract, the pull that it might have in keeping McDavid and Draisaitl here longer term, I think that's a big factor. And for me to give that contract the thumbs up.
I hadn't thought of that in that regard, and it makes perfect sense. David Staples from the Cult of Hockey joining us here on Oilers Now. And also in the Athletic, Scott Wheeler fired out his top 50 prospect lists, and I saw Philip Broberg wasn't on there. I want to get your thoughts. I know my thoughts, but I can't say, you know, for all those other prospects. But got to watch, you know, Philip play last year with Edmonton. Didn't get to see him play. I was in Bakersfield, but he was injured at that time, so he didn't play. But just your thoughts on that.
Well, I'm like you. Like, Scott Wheeler is someone who actually watches all of these players. So in terms of ranking them, he's in a way better position to rank them than I am. I can't rank them.
Yeah.
I don't know them. So that's not fair for me to say, oh, Scott Wheeler got this wrong. Philip Broberg, and I call him Philip Broberg because that's what they say in Sweden, Philip Broberg.
Okay.
He should, and that's just me. Everyone else calls him Broberg. Anyway, he should be, I can't say he should have been in the top 10 or the top 20. I don't know that. But I do know this from what I have watched him play in Edmonton this past year. And before that, I was watching, I had this Instat service where you can watch games around the world. And I was watching him in Sweden play quite a bit. And, He is trending towards being a top four D-man in the NHL. He's big, he's fast, he's agile. And what you typically see with him, he's really inconsistent, especially when he's moving up to a higher level of play. Takes him a while to feel it out, to get comfortable there. But once he does, his amazing skating ability really shines through on defense right off the top. And then the guy can lug the puck. Like, he's kind of like a Darnell Nurse in terms of his ability. Not in terms of being aggressive with the puck, because Darnell always had that. Like, when he was 18 and came into camp, he had that. It's going to take a while for Broberg to show that off, that particular skill off at the NHL level. But he does have that in his toolkit, and we're going to see it. So I know there's still people who are sore that the Oilers didn't take Matt Boldy or Trevor Zegras or Cole Caulfield, and those are all obviously fantastic players. But I think that this pick that the Oilers made that year in 2019 is going to work out for the Oilers, and Broberg really is trending towards being a top four demon in the NHL. And I don't know if Scott Wheeler sees him that way. He did give him an honorable mention, so it's not like he's totally negative on the player, but. I just think this guy's going to be, he's going to, when you take someone eighth overall in the NHL draft, you want him to be in your top four at least. And I think that is where Philip Broberg's headed.
Yeah. There's a calmness to his game that I really like. There's something about, you know, a defenseman that has that low panic threshold that.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And they're bringing him along slowly, which is I think, great. As opposed to, you know, throwing them into the fire too early and you're getting too much too soon. So I agree with you. I see things trending in the right direction for him, and I would expect that this year he'll see plenty of time, if not all of it, in the NHL.
You know, I thought I heard something on the show. It might have been Bob saying it last week about Tippett and his coaching staff and Playfair feeling that he was a little bit lacking in aggression in Edmonton. I don't remember exactly who said that, but I did hear that. And I think that's a fair comment. Like, when he comes up to a new level, he does lack confidence, and that does translate to a lack of aggression. But I think as he gets more and more steady and certain of himself on his new team, that he will start to look aggressive, because he takes out players in the neutral zone so effectively. Like, he's just up on them. His gap is so small because he's so big and so fast and can recover so quickly. He's able to get right up there in people's faces in the neutral zone and shut them down at that level. And to beat the Avs, which is what the Oilers' theme is for the next 5 years, beat the Avs. They need that. They need that big, super strong, shutdown defensive demon who can skate with their fastest skaters, who can skate with Nathan MacKinnon and shut him down in the neutral zone. And this is the player. He's obviously not there yet. He's probably not even close. But within 2 years, could he be? Yeah, he could be.
Yeah. David, I've enjoyed the conversation. If people want to follow you on the Cult of Hockey, where do they go?
They just go to the internet on Twitter at the Cult of Hockey or at D Staples. And Cam, it was great talking to you, man. Thanks. Oh,
awesome. Thank you, David Staples from the Cult of Hockey. Frank Saravelli just tweeting out, he's told free agent defenseman John Klingberg has parted ways with longtime agent Peter Wallin. Klingberg now being represented by Newport Sports Management. So there you go. Frank Saravelli just firing that out.
Talk about an easy way to tell everyone you're not happy.
Oh, that's exactly what it's saying.
Get me more money.
Yeah, show me the money. Yes, that's precisely it. It's almost 1:25 in Edmonton. I think we're almost up against it here. I'm running a little long. Cody Jansen's giving me that look like, hey, come on. Get on time there, pal. We're going to take a quick break. Maybe we'll get back on time. It's Cam Moon, Oilers Now on 630 Chet. Cam Moon and Cody Jansen with you this afternoon on Oilers Now. Cars cost less in Wetaskiwin. And right now, Brent Ridge Ford in Wetaskiwin seeing lots of traffic with people trading in various import vehicles for F-150s, Edges, Rangers, and Bronco Sports. The products are strong. The service is great. And if you're in the market for a change, call our friends Rich, Johnny, and Uncle Milt at Brent Ridge Ford. 1-877-477-3673. Your Ford truck authority on the Auto Mile in Wetaskiwin. Good people there at Brent Ridge Ford. They do wonderful work. Oilers Now Injury Report is brought to you by James H. Brown Injury Lawyers. Unrivaled experience, unrivaled commitment, unrivaled results.
Well, let's head out to Philly for this one, okay. Mooner, here. They've announced rookie forward Bobby Brink recently had surgery to repair a torn labrum in his left hip. Expected recovery time, 5 months.
Ooh. That's not going to be a fun 5 months either. On the hip? Oh.
That's a tough rehab.
Yeah, that's a tough rehab. Absolutely. Whew. All right, there you go. Oilers Now Injury Report brought to you by James H. Brown. I've had good conversations over the course of the afternoon, and I will tell you right now, we got a good one coming up as well. NHL insider John Shannon. We have got him after the break. It is our global news, weather, and traffic update with Kevin Robertson. You're listening to Oilers Now on 630 Chad.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 Chad.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.